Good morning. Give Paul a big hand for playing well. Thank you. Can we hear in the back? Way in the back, can we hear? Okay, good. Thank you. You can hear here. Thank you for being here. Anybody here for the first time, raise hand. First time, thank you. Thank you for coming. Folks from all over. Make friends with these people. Yeah, we were fortunate last week to have the Wise family with us. And they can't thank y'all enough for what you did. What you did was change their lives. And they'll never be the same. And they'll never forget you. And I think they did the same for us. So that was good. So she's sending a letter to thank everybody. And it wasn't time to meet you personally. She wanted to. And sound like Johnny Mathis. He's fooling with the buttons. So Ann has, she said, several good pictures. Does that mean some of them aren't so good? Several good pictures if you want to see them. She's making an album so she can send it to the family so they'll have it. Now, Frankie, little Frankie's the one that played the piano. He had never played before a crowd of people this big. And y'all were kind enough and gave him a standing ovation. Well, he hadn't seen that. He didn't know what that was. He had never seen that happen. And he told Ann, he said, "I thought they were coming to get me." Said, "Oh, Paul used to play in some places like that." Said, he was so proud tonight he played without the chicken wire. From throwing stuff, been in some bad places. Frankie just hadn't seen that, but that was wonderful, wasn't it? And they went down to the Sun News to, they had the big picture of Bradley in the paper. If you didn't see that last Monday, get you one. And little Bradley and Sylvia and Frankie went down and Granny, and they went down real early to get a paper because they were leaving, go back to Winston-Salem. And that big sign out in front of the Sun News tells what's going to be in the paper, you know, Earnhardt or whatever wins a race or whatever it's going to be. And it said, "Local church loves boys." So they sat there and watched it five times on each side. Because said, "Here we come. We're next. Here we come." So we love that. And little Frankie said his favorite part of the weekend was his bicycle. Which should have been that he was given by you folks. And he prayed for us, his mother said. And he prayed for the Coxes for loaning them the house. And prayed for our church and its people. And what a wonderful little fella he is. And there's always something funny happening. Sylvia is the mother and Granny is the grandmother. Well, it isn't like they do enough with what they got to do. But they collect dolls as a hobby. Little porcelain dolls. And so every town they go in, they find out where they're being sold and go look at them. And if they can get one, they do. And if they can't, they just enjoy looking. So they're riding around looking at the beach. And Granny sees the sign for where they apparently sell dolls. Said the doll house. So she said, "Look, what a big one we found this time." Said, "And we need to go in there and look at this." So they pull in and said, "Well, look, they even have valet service." They said, "We'll never be able to afford one of these dolls, but let's go look at them." So they got out and got to the door. Then they found out where they were. And Granny said, "But we didn't go in. We didn't go in." I said, "It's okay." And And who was it said those dolls down there are expensive? Raise your hand. Who? Somebody mentioned that. Don't know who that was. All right. Who gave me a shirt last week, and I love it. It's a T-shirt with a 57 Chevrolet on it that says Restored. Who gave me that? Are you here today? Who did? Not here today? Will you see them? Over here.
Good
good folks. Larry said we have plenty of tapes and CDs from last week and other weeks if you want them. We have good reports of being sent to people and sent to other countries, and that's good. And that's getting the gospel out. Don't forget to help Larry. He does this on his own. Spends his time, spends his money, furnishes the CDs just as a ministry. So help him if you can every now and then when you get your CDs. They're free. Feel free to take them. That's what we want. But help him to buy some CDs every now and then. Just slip him a couple of dollars. And that will be appreciated. So we're glad you're here this morning. We thank H. Lee for letting us run over last week. We were here 2 hours instead of one. And we're so thankful to him because that's his business to be here. And he and his wife's back from the hospital, by the way. She's doing good. She said thank you for praying for her. But we're so glad H. Lee lets us be here, and we don't want to overstep our grounds with him. So thank him when you see him for the time he lets us have with him. So this morning we'll pray, and then we'll expound the scriptures. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for another beautiful Lord's Day. And we remember every Sunday is a celebration of the fact that you rose from the dead. And we thank you that it's Resurrection Sunday again here. And we appreciate that. And thank you for the beautiful, beautiful weather you've given us. Give the folks safe passage when they're headed home. We ask that you bless us is what we have to say. Remove me from this place that you be heard. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Wise family and what an inspiration they were to us. Thank you for all the people here who help support them and put them up and feed them and buy them gifts and care for them. And we appreciate that. Thank you for what we do here. If there be one here today who knows you not as Lord and Savior, may that change before the day's out, and may they become a member of the family of God and your child and live with you forever, for that's our purpose here, to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. This morning, if you'll turn to John 9, the book of John, chapter 9, and we're going to talk about why me this morning. Had several people who come through the year, and you've done it before you. I've done it before you did. Something bad will happen in their life, and we have a tendency to say, why me? And it's a question sometimes the preachers get, and we can't answer. And we do our best to. But this morning, we'll try to answer that for you, for situations that are facing you. John 9 says, and Jesus passed by. He saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. It's a good question and a natural question to ask in that economy under the Jewish law. They believed if you were wealthy, it was a direct blessing of God. You were singled out for that. And if you had money, you were blessed. Then God must love you more than he loves somebody else. They did it with health too. If you had good health, he must have singled you out. However, if you had bad health and something was wrong and you were blind or crippled or had leprosy, they took it as a direct condemnation of God, singling you out and cursing you now and putting that upon you. And they believe that. Unfortunately, that has held over to today to a lot of folks, and they believe that, and it's turned into a big business of people who hold healing meetings and take in great deals amounts of money and have millions of dollars sent to them. And unfortunately, when you bring someone like little Bradley or Frankie by, they single them out not to be on television. There's something wrong with that. I don't remember Jesus bypassing anybody. I don't remember anybody coming to him and being turned away. He says, all who come unto me, everybody is eligible. Just come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So we look at things from a different point of view, and we'll give you that point of view this morning. It's not why me. A friend of my wife's mother was passing away. She had cancer, and I knew the gentleman too. We just weren't as close as she and Ann. They had business together. And she came home and said, Beaver, so-and-so's mother is dying. And I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. And well, that's sad news. What is the problem? Said, well, she has cancer, and it's irreversible, and she only has a few days to live. And I said, well, I'm very, very sorry for that, and we'll pray for the family and pray for her. And she said, honey, she's lost. Well, I knew the family she came from, and they're all Christian. And she was lost. And I said, well, let's get in the car and get me over there. Not that I'm anybody, but I can answer a few questions. I said, please get me to her. So we went out where they lived, and I went in, and the family was standing around, and I don't remember even saying anything but nodding at them. She's lying on the couch, and I just slid on my knees, right to her, because I didn't really care who else was there or what they were doing. And I said, I know your situation. I'm a friend of your son's. And told her my name and told her I'm Ann's husband. And I said, I'm a preacher of the gospel. And I know your situation, and it's no use beating around the bush. You know your situation. Everybody's here because of the situation. And but she hadn't spoken to anybody in 2 months now. She hadn't said one word in 2 months. But I said, it is my duty as a servant of the Lord, it's my duty as a friend of your family to come and tell you what I know, because I don't want you to face God with the excuse that I never heard and nobody ever told me. So I said, I certainly hope you're not blaming the wrong party for your illness, as so many people do. They'll get in a situation like you're in or worse, and they will immediately turn on God. Immediately. Why did God let this happen to me? It's a natural thing to do. It's the common thing to do. But it's the wrong thing to do. For you see, he didn't single her out for cancer any more than he singled my wife who passed away out for cancer, or someone who died in a car wreck, or those of you here today. Several have spoken to me about their parents who are, unless a miracle of God takes place, they won't be with us long. The death rate in America and the rest of the world is 100%. Nobody singled you out. Bad things do happen to good people. Good things do happen to bad people. And I told this lady this, and I said, it's just an occurrence of life. Nobody lives. I haven't met anybody 150 years old yet. And everybody has death come upon them. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is what now? What are we going to do now? It's not if it's going to happen. It's when it happens. Where are you going? And explain to her the gospel as it's so clearly given in the scriptures. And that there were two choices, and the choice was hers. And God not only gave us one chance, which Adam and Eve blew, but he came back and gave us another chance and did it himself where we could escape the penalties of sin. And she was listening, and I said, that's all I have to say, and I just came to make you the offer. You're going to leave here for long, and I might leave here on the way home, get hit by a car, have a heart attack, I don't know. But you're not going to be here. You'll never see me again. But I just want to give you the opportunity to accept the Lord. Get it straightened out, and then we'll see what takes place health-wise. Would you like to do that? And she looked me dead in the eye and said, I sure would. Hadn't spoken in 2 months. I said, do you repeat after me a little prayer? It's not a magic formula. It's just confessing to the Lord and asking him to forgive your sins. And she did that, and 3 days later, they were holding her funeral. But had we not gone, and other preachers gone, and good Christian people gone, the people, they'll lie on a deathbed and leave here blaming God for this situation. You don't have to go out of this building to find some of the worst situations, as bad as they are in the world. Someone came to me and said, someone beloved to them says, having a liver transplant. I don't have to tell you the seriousness of that. First of all, you got to be on the list to get one in time. Second, your body has to accept it. If it rejects it, you gone. You don't give it one liver. Would you pray? I said, I sure will. Someone came and said, my son is going to stand before the judge, and he's got a terrible record, and he won't listen to me, and I'm afraid he's going to go to jail this week. And I said, well, you're going to have to pray, and we'll pray, and leave it in God's hands, but you don't say, why me? Mimi, who comes with us, Mimi and Phil, Mimi's granddaughter is a missionary to China. And they got a call yesterday, said the Chinese government had come in and broken in the church and took away all the Chinese workers. They don't know where they took them. They don't know what they're going to do to them. They're just gone, probably never to be seen again. And had it not been for the Olympic situation and them trying to look good in front of the world, they'd have taken them too. It was that close. Of course, Mimi's worried about that and said, would you pray? Sure, we'll do that. One of my best friends I met down here, and we're good friends. I won't call his name because I didn't ask his permission. Had a little girl to die years ago. Has the same disease that little Ben here has, Paul's little boy. And she passed away, and he can tell you to the day how old she'd be right now. Loves her so much. Misses her so much. And these things make you say, why me? Sonny Webster may be here today, may be in Atlanta. Surely he's saying, why me? His son slipped and fell in a bathtub in a coma, paralyzed from the waist down. We've been praying for him, and he saw me Father's Day. He said, Beaver, look at this. Says a Father's Day card, and my boy signed it. Last week he said he stood up. He's on his feet. It's going to happen. He's coming back. I said, amen. We'll keep praying. But surely you say, why me? Paul's little boy, surely he's looked at him before and says, why me? Why my baby? We can't blame God for bad things that happen. There's a group of people preach on television. They'll look at you and tell you that God can't get glory out of sickness. I believe I just read where it was Jesus himself who said this man did not sin nor his parents, but he is in this condition that the works of God should be manifest in him. He wasn't made blind for that particular purpose, Jesus is saying, but being he is blind, I'm going to show you how to use this situation for the good. And that's what God does, and those people are preaching a false doctrine. Bless them, they're saved, they're misinformed. Fanny Crosby was born blind. Fanny Crosby had a talent for writing poetry and a talent for putting those to song. And she began to write hymns for the church. And Fanny Crosby wrote 4,000 hymns of the church. You'll find them in any church hymnal that you look in. And I read some of them, and often she refers to in her songs is when I see his face, when I look into his eyes, when I see him. Strange language for a blind woman, unless she knows one day she shall see. And she knew one day she'd see. And Fanny Crosby's entire life has affected, multiplied millions of people in the hymns that she wrote and the sermons of the gospel who came through those hymns and the story and love of Christ that came through those hymns. Look at the lives she affected. Ask her if she'd go back and undo all that just for the privilege of having sight for a few years on earth, and she'd laugh in your face. Evangelist David Ring, if you haven't seen him or don't know him, you need to be made aware of him. He's a young man in his early 30s, and he has multiple sclerosis or muscular dystrophy. I don't know which. It's one of the two. And he's slow of speech and slurs his speech, which is a telltale sign of that condition. And he walks with a little halting step. That's also that way, and one arm is looks like he's had a stroke. You know what I'm talking about. And it's no doubt when you just see him stand or walk that there's been some serious illness somewhere. and David ring instead of saying, why me? Why did God let this happen to me? Turned it completely around, found Christ as his Savior, and said, thank you for letting this happen to me. There's a group of people who aren't preached to directly. They're in audiences, and they sit and listen, and go about their way, but nobody comes and preaches specifically for them in a citywide crusade. And he said, I'm going to be that person. And he goes and holds handicap revivals and goes and fills the place with the crippled and the blind and the halt and those with terminal diseases. And they come because they feel at home, because they feel more welcome among their own, so to speak. And there he is and preaches and gets their attention like no one else could, because they have empathy with him. They say he's one of us, and they listen carefully, and he preaches the gospel and thanks the Lord Jesus. And he also scolds the rest of us. He said, if you're not preaching in one sense or another, you aren't behind the pulpit if you're called to be so. You aren't on the mission field if you're supposed to be so. You aren't witnessing to friends and relatives and neighbors. You aren't talking to people who live in your neighborhood and knock at your door. And you aren't doing something to get the gospel out. I wouldn't want to face Jesus that way, he'll tell you. He said, I got mustard dystrophy. What's your excuse? Boy, he'll hit you right between the eyes. I said, son, I ain't got one. I don't have one. I'll find a place to preach. And God provided this one. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I had some things in my life, like you, that I could have said, why me, and sat on my haunches and brooded, and that'll ruin your life. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina. And I thought about this morning. The thought came for me. We used to go to the library as kids to do our little book reports, and in the summer they'd read stories to us and have story hour on Saturday. And there was a lady there I saw since childhood, and she was a typical cartoon librarian. Little gray hair pulled back in a bun, little beady eyes with the little glasses, and mouth. With the little wrinkles off, and I've never seen her teeth. I've never seen her smile. Never saw her smile. And I said, and everybody commented on how hostile she was and how non-friendly she was. And we wondered about that. And as a kid, you just, pass it off being hateful. And then you learn as you get older, there's something behind people like that. And I found out when I got older that she had been dating a young man, and they were engaged to be married. And her sister stole the boy from her, and he married her sister. And it affected her life so that she just withdrew completely. Instead of saying, hey, man, he didn't deserve me. Not saying why me, but now watch what happens to her. She got that sucker. Let him go and get another one. And I'll tell my little boy, he'll get upset about he's of the age where he wants a girlfriend here, there, and you know how they do. And they get all wrapped up in one. And I say, son, back off here a minute now. Let me help you. There are 5 million women in New York you hadn't even met yet. 5 million. And 3 more million in Miami. There's 4 million in California. Detroit's loaded up with them. Anywhere you go, they're there. And believe me, turn it over to God, and there'll be someone for you, and the right one. The worst thing you can do, son, is choose the wrong one. You get to go to hell early that way. No way. Yeah. So that's why Ann gives most of the advice and doesn't send him to me. So we get that done. But it's happened to you, and you can talk to somebody for long, and you'll find out When you were in grammar school, didn't you think it was your family was the only ones that didn't get along? Everybody think that? Yeah. I mean, I was the only one there. I said, boy, I'm so ashamed. My family, they fight like dogs, throw things at each other, get mad, and won't talk. And I said, man, I can't let anybody know this. And little did I know, the rest of them trying to keep it from me. We could have had a better time had we just known. And just gone on. But you see, it's everybody. And the scripture answers that. It says, it rains on the just and the unjust. Once the door of sin was opened, we all got under that umbrella, and it's going to happen to everybody. It's what you do with that situation that will make the difference in your life. Last week, we saw little Frankie stand up here and stand on the table and gave his little testimony and said, boy, I'm glad I'm saved. And the more you learn about that little boy, the more you love him. That little boy knows more theology and has more faith in the Lord Jesus than most adults I've ever met in my life. Some of the money that you give him that goes in these envelopes, if you don't have some, you get some, and send those boys a little money every week. He takes part of the money, and he's paying on a tombstone because he knows he has a terminal illness. And I said, boy, that strikes you hard, and why would anybody let a kid do that? And backed off a minute and said, wait a minute. Look at the wisdom of that mother. She's taught that child that death for a Christian is a transition. Death is not for Christians. Death is for sinners. Jesus Christ came to undo, conquer, and do away with death. And he did. We still leave our physical bodies, but you can't bury a Christian unless you bury him alive, because he won't be in that body a split second after he's dead. This scripture says, absent from the body is present with the Lord, and the Greek word there means instantaneous. You can't even time it. Just at the exact moment. And that little boy has been taught and fully understands that. And looks the doctors who treat him in the face. And they say, Frankie, it doesn't look good. And he says, it's all right, I'm going to be healed. And they say, son, I'm a doctor and been one a long time. And what I'm trying to tell you is, it doesn't look good. And he said, what I'm trying to tell you is, I'm going to be healed. I'll either be healed now or I'll be healed then. But I'm going to be healed. And the doctor cried and left the room and wouldn't come back in. He couldn't face the faith of that child. Say, God bless him. Now, there are those that say, well, you just fooling him. No, you a fool for not believing him. He's got it down. He's got it right. Frankie knows. And I pray that the Lord will heal him here, because we're selfish and we'd love to have him. But if he leaves here, I'll see him later. If Bradley leaves here, I'll see him later. And one day he'll run. He'll walk with the legs you gave him. He'll run with the new legs God's going to give him. And one day I'll live to see it. And one day I'll be with him. And one day he'll come running down the street saying, Pastor Beaver, you remember me? I said, how could I forget you, baby? You look different, but how could I forget you? You changed my life and touched my heart and made me go back. And I do a lot of motivational speaking, and one of the big things in that area is persistence and determination. And I've used all kind of people who were persistent and determined to get something done, a goal to be met, but I've never in my life read or met anybody who had the persistence and the determination of that little boy to keep on keeping on. He got on our living room floor on all fours like a puppy, and he's running around, and you don't help him. He'll climb up the couch, and he'll climb back down, and he chases the cat just like my dog used to do, and there he goes. He don't think anything about it. He said, this is the way I do it. If you don't like it, get out the way. I'm chasing the cat. And here he goes. See, God bless him, doing the best he has with what he got. And that's what the Lord Jesus said to do. Don't say, why me? Take what's happened to you and the situation you in and do something about it for my sake. And in the scriptures, we find out that we are going to suffer. And suffering's real. Suffering doesn't mean you've sinned. Suffering doesn't mean it's your fault. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. But the scriptures comforting in Romans 8:18, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You see, as Christians, sometimes we get short-sighted. Sometimes we forget whom it is we worship. Sometimes we forget who it is that's in control of all of it. Sometimes we don't understand. He only told us the tip of the iceberg, that what he has in store is unbelievable. He didn't even tell us because we wouldn't have believed it. That's why. And you say, how do you know? Son, I knew that 800 years before Jesus was born. The prophet Isaiah told us. He said, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath I seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him who waiteth for him." Oh, how wonderful it'll be. And we don't have to worry about golden streets and pearl gates. And that's just John's illustration of what he saw. We don't have to get materialistic and, oh, I'm going to have a big mansion. That word means a room anyhow. You're just going to have a place in the house. In God's house is all that means. But what he has put for us, he says, forever his goal and his work is to overflow and pour upon us the grace of God for eternity. I can live with that. I can make it through whatever happens here. If I can live with that, Frankie will bet on that. Fanny Crosby bet on it. David Ring bet on it. Billy Graham bets on it. You need to bet on it. Little Bradley has the education of about a 5-6-year-old, I guess. He's 9. Said he'd never talk. But you ask him where Jesus is, he'll take that little dove and say, "In my heart." Can't say it. He'll just tell you. Why you go to church, Bradley? Take him little nubs. Bow his little head. I said, amen. What a testimony to the goodness of God. Please don't feel sorry for him. Because if you lost and don't know the Jesus he knows, he's feeling sorry for you. And don't think that God doesn't have those days when he says, why me? Don't think it didn't happen to him where he was in a position where he couldn't say, why me, on a big scale. Said, well, why would he do that? I'll read it to you. Then Pilate said unto them, what evil has this man done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. So Pilate, willingly to content the people, released Barabbas unto them. And he delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and began to salute him, hail, King of the Jews, make fun of him. And they smote him on the head with a reed and they spit upon him. And bowing their knees, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And it was the day God could look at his son and say, why me? All he did was try to help people. They called the witnesses and they couldn't find anybody to say anything except, yes, I've heard of him. He went about doing good. No witnesses, a kangaroo court, a false accusation and a false acclamation. Guilty of what? Guilty of being himself. It was the day God could say, why me? Why my son? It was the day Jesus, who is God in the flesh, could say, why me? Why have I got to pay the price for somebody else? Let them pay their own price. Let's put together a new deal. If you earn so much money, you can buy a ticket to heaven. If you do so many good works, you can do a ticket to heaven. If you're this, if you're that, and if you're the other, no. He said, I'll pay the whole thing. Give me the bill. I'll take care of all of it. All sin for all time, past, present, and future. I'll pay the price. And so when you're going to say, why me? No, all these people said it. I've said it. Everybody else has said it. But when you back up a minute, learn to ask the larger question. The larger question isn't why me. The larger question is why for me. In the old gospel song, my dad used to lead people in the tent services he'd hold, and they would sing, why does he love me so? Why did he love me so? Why did my Savior to Calvary go? Why did he love me so? And I finally found the answer to that question. You've heard it all your life. It's the most quoted portion of the New Testament. People who don't know God can quote this and know it when they see it. You see it held up at football games. They don't spell it out, but people know what it is. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He so loved you. He gave his only begotten Son, his only Son, his only unique Son, that whosoever would believe in him, would trust in him, would have eternal life, would never perish, would pass from death unto life. So it's not why me, it's why for me. And now I know. And now you know. Simply because he loved you. If you know not that Savior this morning, you know not that kind of love, it's a good day. For you where you sit, we don't ask people to raise a hand or fill out cards or stand up. My business is through. But if you got business with God and you don't know him as Savior, you don't know the Lord Jesus, you've heard all this from other people, heard it again this morning, and you've never done anything with it, might be a good day for you to get it settled and quit blaming God for your problems and say, Lord Jesus, I just didn't understand that anybody loved me that much. And if you love me that much, you're the answer I've been looking for. And I want to confess my sins. I want to turn and go in another direction. And I'd ask you to redeem me, buy me out of the marketplace, save me. And I promise he'll hear that prayer. And I promise he will answer it. And I promise you'll get to see Bradley run too. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we come before you and thank you for the sacrifice you made. It's overwhelming to think that you love me that much, that you would die in my place. And I know that your book tells me, had I been the only one who sinned, you would have still come and still died, that I may be forgiven and live with you forever. And I've never gotten over that fact. If there be those here in front of me who have never confessed you as Lord, as Savior, as King, as God, may the Holy Spirit of God move upon them this morning. And as he passes by, they pray, Lord Jesus, I call upon you to save me, for I know you're true to your word. And we'll honor that prayer. Thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for trusting me with your word. Thank you that I can be a part of your family.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. And for his sake, amen.